So we're back, still in the same seats as the past 2 weeks, but they're still good. Yeah. Server seats don't go bad. They don't go stale. So we are up to source number 16 on the sheet. So we are working our way towards the end. We will get there probably this week with Hashem. And there's still more to discuss. But we're still in the middle of discussing the Chil Eitz Hadas. And now we're quite, now right in the thick of it. Now we're talking about the conversation between the Nachash and Chava. And we want to try to determine a little bit, what was the Nachash's trick? How did he trick Chava? And what was she thinking? How did he deceive her? So let's read the next sources over here. So let's read the Pasuk, it's back on the previous page in the bottom. Vatomer Ishel HaNachash Mipri Yitzhagan Nuchel. So if we recall, last time we saw Pasuk Aleph. And Pasuk Aleph had the snake speaking to Chava. And he said to her, "Afki Amar Elokim lo chasuchu l'mekol yitzhagan." So he said to her, it seemed to be a trick, "Didn't Hashem say not to eat any of the trees of the garden?" And that obviously was wrong. She was allowed to eat some of the, most of the trees. So that was his first line to her. So she responds to him, this Pasuk Beis, she said, "Mipri yitzhagan nochel." She said, "No, we're allowed to eat the fruits of the garden. It's fine." And Rashi said that he was just trying to bring her into conversation to start the negotiating over here. So Pasuk Gimel, Chava continues, "Mipri yitz asher basoch hagan, amar elokim lo sochin menu." Chava says, well, Hashem said not to eat from the tree in the center of the garden. And this is our source to say, also another pasuk as well, that the Eitz Hadas is right in the middle. "V'lo sigu bo," and Hashem also said, "Don't touch it, pentamusun, lest you die." So this is this pasuk here, "lo sigu bo," is something which has a lot of discussion about it, because back in the previous parak in Bereishis, when Hashem gives the original command about the Eitz Hadas, he didn't say anything about touching it. Hashem just says, "Don't eat from it." The pasuk said, "Eitz Hadas tovara lo sochal menu," don't eat from it. So Chava, for some reason, adds in, "Don't touch it," and we're going to see that was part of her downfall. Adding that in was a problem, and that somehow is going to lead to her being deceived. So let's understand a little bit why she added this in. What was she saying? Why did she add it in? What's the idea about touching it? So look at source 16 as Rashi, and Rashi just says very simply, "Hosifa alatzivui," she added on to the command. "Lefichach bali de girayonhu," therefore it led to a defect, you know, to she was diminished, to a problem. "Shenemar al tosif al devar," don't add to his words. So there's something we'll discuss more. Adding to the Torah itself, there's a prohibition in the Torah, you know, about tosif, you can't add to mitzvos. Hashem gives you precise commands, you don't need to add to them. Now there are derabbanans which do seem to add to the Torah. We'll talk about that more, I think, in the next piece or two. But Chava, for some reason, we'll see why, she added to the command of Hashem, and adding to a mitzvah never leads to any good. Hashem knows what he's talking about. And Hashem tells you what to do, what not to do. And if you want to add to Hashem's words, well, then you're looking for trouble, because then you're taking Hashem's perfect command and you're giving it imperfection. Something which is perfect, whether you add or subtract, you made it imperfect now, because perfect is perfect. If something's imperfect, you can add to it to perfect it. But once it's perfect, then there's no changing it. Hashem's words are perfect, so adding to it's never a good idea.
It's like the Avihu, you know, they want to do more. I mean, it's not right. Exactly
it,
like
but you're saying it was more. They're trying to do more than they were allowed to do, and that led to their death. Right. But yeah, that's a similar example. So let's look at number 17, which the Chizkuni will explain a little more what's happening over here. Lomos to Musun. So the Chizkuni is speaking about, really about Pasuk Dawid, but it's relevant over here. Pirush Rashi, Dachva Achinagabo. He quotes from Rashi. And Rashi said that what happened? The Nachash pushed Chava, and she touched the tree. Now, she in her own mind, for whatever reason, we'll figure out in a minute, felt that it was us to touch the tree. The Nachash said, oh yeah, pushed her into it, and she didn't die. And she thought, well, as soon as I eat or touch from this tree, eat from this tree or touch it, I will die. And she touched the tree and didn't die. Amar lo, kashem she'en at mesa benegia v'chuli. So this is from Rashi. Rashi continues and explains, the Nachash said to Chava, look, Chava, you didn't die from touching the tree, so how about eating it be? You know, you think in your own mind it's the same Isser, so obviously Hashem must be fooling you, because it wasn't as lethal as you thought. So that's what Rashi says. Vim Tomar, so then the Chizkoni has a question. Mina yada shelo tumus benegia. How Adayin? How Adayin lover yom? Excuse me. Adayin lover hayom. How did Chava know that she wouldn't die that day? The day didn't pass yet. Rechmana amar ki ba yom chalchem enmos tumus. The pasuk before the original command from Hashem was the day they eat from the tree, you shall die. Well, there's still time in the day. I forgot, the Gemara does mention what time this happened even. I forgot the times, but the Gemara goes through the entire schedule of the first day in Gan Eden. From the creation of Adam, creation of Chava, etc., all the way till the Chait and the being expelled from Gan Eden. So, but there's still time in the day. So, what exactly was the snake telling her? Was she so foolish to think that she's going to die on the spot? Hashem said the day you die, there's still time in the day, so maybe she'll die later that day. Aval in harachar divrei rabbeinu. So the Chizkuni says, well, we can't question the words of Chazal. Aval shuvas haminim yesh lomar. But if we want to answer up those who do question Chazal, we have an answer. So on the one hand, Rashi's quoting a Medrash, so we don't want to question Midrashim, he says. It's an interesting point he's making. But we have to have an answer because the people will question and we have to know what has to have an explanation. So what's the explanation? Yesh lomar shenachash diberi malam macharas shedachva. You could actually say that the Nachash spoke to her the next day. He's really putting a big twist in this story that we're not really aware of. He says that it was a two-day conversation. On the first day, they started a conversation. Nachash pushed her. She said, okay, I touched the tree, I'm in big trouble. She spent the entire day nervous that she might die. And then the next day, the Nachash came back and convinced her to eat. I'll tell you, this does not fit at all the Gemaras and the Midrashim about this. They all say it's on the same day that they're created. So I'm not sure how this would fit into the rest of Chazal. This is at least to answer this particular point. In the Psukim themselves, you don't know when the conversation continued. In the Psukim, it could be the conversation was an ongoing conversation. For instance, Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem. When Hashem first came to Moshe, I wanted to make him into the leader of Klal Yisrael. So we have a recorded in Parsha Shmos, a long conversation of Moshe saying, that's not good, I can't do it, give it to Aaron, I'm not worthy. Chazal say they argued for 7 days straight. In the Psukim, you don't see 7 days passing necessarily. The Psukim seems to be all one big conversation. But Chazal say there was actually a week-long debate between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. So you do find times in the Torah where conversations look like they're short conversations, and they actually extend beyond that which you think. Again, here Chazal seemed to learn it otherwise, but the Chizkuni says it could have been in the next day. And then Chava said, "V'amar kashem she'ein misa v'negia." Then Chava said to herself, well, look, the whole day passed, and I touched the tree, and I didn't die. So it must be that Hashem's command was a joke, was a trick. It's not real. Shekvar avra yom v'hisiyav achlam eitz hadas. So the day passed, so the Nachash convinced her, and she ate from the tree. Ambilso yom sheni legia, on the second day after touching it, ambinasna gam l'isha, and then she gave to her husband. So one possible pshat, again, doesn't fit all that well in the Midrashim, but it could fit in the Psukim. Then he says further, Davar Acher, another explanation. Lo mos tamusun amar hanachash l'chava, ichli mimenu, v'altav siri bekach, shum davar. Shubalav hachi niklasa alecha misa benegia. So the second answer is a little more deceptive of the Nachash. Chava touched the tree. And Chava knows that she's going to die that day. And she knows what the command was. V'yom achalcha menu tamus. He'll die the day that you touch it. So the day still has a few hours left. And now in her mind, this is my last day on earth. That's it. I messed up. I'm a goner. That's what she's thinking. So Nachash tells her, hey, Chava, what do you have to lose? Eat from the tree, because you're already going to die anyways. So you might as well enjoy that fruit, because, you only got a couple hours left. So what's worse? What could be worse than your situation right now? Just give up. That was his trick. Matav Sidi, what are you going to lose in Tochli Meni if you eat from the tree? And this is what the Nachash is telling Chava when he says, you won't die. You're not going to die because of the eating anymore. You already are going to be punished to die because you touched it. So this happens to be, I think, a classic trick of Yitzhahara. Yitzhahara tells you, you're already a lost cause. Just give up. You've tried already for 40 years to work on this mitzvah and never went. Just forget about it. Just what do you have to lose? Just do it anyways. Now just have a good time. It applies in life in so many ways. You've been working on avoiding lashon hara for the past 22 years, and it never worked. So just forget about it. Just give up. Hashem's already going to punish you for it. You're a goner. So again, it's the Yitzhahara talking. The answer is absolutely not. You know, there's always second chances. Hashem accepts tshuva. Just because you make one mistake doesn't mean you make another mistake. The Gemara has a phrase that it uses, kind of a cute phrase. It says, let's say somebody ate garlic and they had a bad breath. So should you eat more garlic now because your breath is bad? No, you should go and brush your teeth. you should get some mouthwash. Just because you already ate shum, don't eat more shum, is what the Gemara says. Hashem gives second chances. Hashem allows for tshuva. So don't say, oh, now that I'm a goner anyways, I might as well just, you know, let loose and do whatever I want. Chava said, okay, I made one mistake, why have to make two mistakes? I'm just going to eat garlic once, why should I eat garlic twice? I have Masvi just speaking about Yom Diyoma. Yesterday was Pesach Sheni. And Pesach Sheni is about Yontif, it's all about second chances. The people said, we missed out on the first Pesach, Hashem, what can we do? And Hashem said, I'm giving you a second chance. They didn't say, well, we missed out, so that's it, we're done, we've lost the mitzvah. They said, no, there's a second chance always. You know, so you missed out on the mitzvah not to touch the tree, but don't eat from the tree at least, you know, at least don't do that. And people make a mistake, let's say like a fast day, and you forget and eat something. So you don't eat more, you ate one thing, but it's still a fast day, so you don't eat anymore. I mean, why just continue doing the Avera, because you did the Avera once? So that's the same thing. But the Nachash, the Yitzhar tells us, no, just give up. Just have yush, just to have despair. No, you're already a bad person. Just, you know, just continue in your ways, and that's one of the worst things Yitzhar can tell us, to make us feel about ourselves that we are bad people and therefore we have no chance, because it's not true. Hashem looks at every single mitzvah individually and says, yeah, you might have made a mistake here, but now you did a mitzvah over here. And Hashem says, well, you did an avera, but you felt bad about it, so I'll erase that avera because you did tshuva. But the Nachash didn't want the Chava to think that. And Nachash wanted Chava to think that she was already written out of history, and therefore she might as well just enjoy fruits from the tree. And Chava was nechshol, she gave in to that. So that's the Chizkuni's second shot over here, which fits more with Chazal, and that happened the same day, which is the way we usually understand it. And it's also a powerful message for us to know the Yetzer Hara's, you know, ploys and tricks and strategies to try to make us do the wrong things. So that's the Chizkuni. Let's go to source 18. And the source 18 is the Kli Yakar. And he addresses more over here, why did Chava think there was a problem touching the tree? Where'd she get that from? Hashem said, don't eat from the tree. Like, why would she even dream of an additional Isser? Like, where did that come from? Did she make it up? Did Adam tell her that? Did she make a mistake somewhere along the way? So the Kli Yakar says the following. He says, I have a big question here. If Chava added on, based on her own das, her own wisdom, that you shouldn't touch the tree, she knew the truth then. I mean, if Chava made this up herself, and she knew she made it up herself, and she was just telling it to the snake for whatever reason, but she knew the truth, that Hashem never commanded it, then why did she give in to the Nachash's trick? I mean, Nachash said, hey, look, you didn't die from touching it, so you might as well eat it too. But she knew that touching it wasn't a problem, so that wouldn't have worked. That wouldn't have been a very good deception, because she knew, she could see right through it. I made that up myself. Hashem's not going to punish her touching it. That's not a prohibition. So the Kli Yakar is wondering, like, where did she get this from? If she made it up herself, then she wouldn't have been tricked by the Nachash, because she would know touching it's okay. So he explains, Lafum Riata near Lafarish. So based on, at the surface level, you can say the following. She isha lo shama tzivui mipi agvura. Ki mipi baila. No, the Chava never actually heard the command straight from Hashem's mouth. She heard it from her husband. As it says, Vayitzava Hashem akim ala Adam leimor. She wasn't even created at the time, at least in the order of the psukim, but Hashem commanded Adam not to eat from the tree, and Adam passed it on. Mahu leimor. Whenever you see the word leimor, what does leimor mean? Is they should pass it on to his wife as well. Just as an aside, we see very often in Chumash the word lemor. V'daber Hashem Moshe lemor is the most common pasuk in all of Chumash. And the word lemor itself is hard to translate. Usually it says, like, let's say the article I think says, you know, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying. So lemor means saying. So some Rishonim actually say lemor is like quotation marks. Like Hashem spoke to Moshe, quote. And this is the quote. Lemor is like the quote. But others say that lemor means it's said to Moshe to pass it on to others. Hashem spoke to Moshe. Lemor, that Moshe should say to other people what he's being taught by Hashem. So the Kli Yakar is understanding it that way with Chava. Hashem commanded Adam to say to others this command as well. So who was Adam supposed to command? His wife, to Chava. So basically, he's telling us, you know, Chava never heard the command from Hashem directly. She only heard from Adam. So, El Shomar Gam Ishtel Shechiz Mazukenes, Kimitam Zen Nemar Al Adam, Wa Nemar El Adam, El Al, Hainal Odo Shel Havis Atma Besakana. It's also, it says here, Hashem commanded Al Ha Adam. Doesn't say to Adam, it says Al Ha Adam, about Adam. meaning that they should feel together the danger of this tree. Meaning to understand, not just as a command, but as a danger. So Adam himself, he decided to add on to the command. So Chuyakar is saying in this first pshat over here that it wasn't Chava making up an extra command. Adam decided to do it. Why did he decide to do it? Because he knew the tree was dangerous, and he wanted to add on, let's say, similar to Darabanan, right? He wanted to offense. He wanted to make offense. So if you can't touch it, for sure you won't eat it. Right, like we have many rabbinic halachas that are fences around deraisas, around Torah commands. So Adam told Chava, not only can I eat it, we can't even touch the tree. So what's the problem? I mean, happens to be derabbanans, the Torah sanctions them. We look at them as positive. You know, we're very, very careful to keep derabbanans. So what's the issue here? The Chava savrash amar la kol hegvura. The problem was the following. The Chava thought that it was all Hashem's command. That's why she was fooled. Meaning there's a big distinction between the Isser of Baal Tosif, not to add to the Torah, and Derabbanans. The difference, one big difference is that Derabbanans are clearly rabbinic. We know they are sourced from the rabbis, they're not from Hashem. And Baal Tosif is adding on saying, this is what Hashem wants. I'm fulfilling Hashem's commands by doing this. So that's a big distinction. So Chava made a big mistake. It could be Adam's fault. But Chava felt that this not touching the tree was actually part of Hashem's command. It's like a deraisa. This is Hashem's command. And it wasn't just a fence around the tree. So therefore, Nachash fooled her. And so Nachash says, wait, you didn't die. You touched the tree. Hashem said not to. You didn't die. Had she known it was rabbinic, that Adam made it up himself, she would have known why she didn't die, because it was Adam's command. It wasn't. If Adam and Chava together sat down and said, you know, this tree is really dangerous, let's make a plan to stay away from it. Okay, so we're not going to touch it anymore, right? Yeah, if they communicated that way, then they know she wouldn't have been fooled, because she would have known, okay, this was our own personal offense we made, and obviously Hashem won't kill me for that one, because it's not Hashem's command, that was our command. But she didn't know that. Adam, I guess, did not communicate that to her. Adam just said to her, by the way, Hashem said, don't eat or touch the tree, and that led to the mistake. So therefore, the Nachash can now tell her, look, this wasn't as lethal as you thought, so go ahead and eat it too. And that's where it came from. I think it's important to add in at this point that in terms of, you know, our own personal understanding of halacha and a mitzvos, one of the most important things is to know, let's say, the structure of halacha. Meaning, if we confuse everything, I don't know what's a Torah command, what's rabbinic, what's a minhag, what's optional, what's a requirement. Everything is a big mishmash, and it can lead to terrible errors similar to Chava. It's so important to understand just a basic level of, okay, I understand on Shabbos there are things which are malacha, which are deraisa. There's things that are rabbinic. There's things that are merely minhagim. There's some minhagim which are more obligatory and some which are more optional. And if we're able to have a structure like that, in terms of in our minds of halacha, it helps us not to make these mistakes. We have to keep everything deraisa derabanan, but you have to have some sort of structure. If you know what's a fence, and you know what's the actual core halacha, it makes a big difference. Just as an example, sometimes, let's say, one of my little kids will ask me a question about tefillah. So, in a kid's mind, I'm saying Adon Olam and saying Shema Esrei are of the same importance, or Shema Yisrael. Now, they don't realize, well, Shema Esrei is a rabbinic obligation, and Shema Yisrael might be a Torah obligation, and Adon Olam is a nice thing to say as a minhag, to say it, you know, in the morning. But if you don't know, then the questions are all the same. In your mind, I see that Adon Olam and Shema Esrei are on the same level, and then you're, in your whole mind, everything is kind of turned upside down. Yeah.
She has a great idea.
What's that?
That should be your next class.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's really a great idea.
That might be several years down the road, but based on our pace right now. But okay, we can put that into
a great idea. Just to know all those categories.
Which ones?
Just understand, yeah, just to structure the halachas in each area of life. Right? Yeah, it's very important to know.
And even the meaning of the tefillah, it's like, you know, you're supposed to know exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, but I think what she's saying, is that it totally changes the way that you're going to look at challah, because if she's hearing it one way and understanding it another, it affects how she's judged, no?
Right, yeah.
Because if she hears that it's a deraisa command from what you're saying, Adam didn't tell her that, and she thinks this is from the Torah and from Hashem himself, and then the snake pushes her.
So a lot of the blame is on Adam for not giving her that.
All the information. She didn't get all the information.
Right. I mean, she's also at fault because she did eat from the tree too. But yeah. But ultimately, the trick of the nachash, he's able to trick her because Adam gave her the wrong information. Right.
But it was a more significant trick, because if he pushed her against it and she thinks it's a raisa and that she doesn't die.
Right. Exactly.
The trick is a bigger trick than if she made it up in her head.
Exactly. Right.
And, so you understand it a very different way.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right, that's true, 100% true.
Not touching the tree is like muktzah.
Yeah.
Putting a fence around it.
Right. Yeah, muktzah is a derabbanan. Muktzah is meant to be some sort of fence or nochah Shabbos. Muktzah is not chiv deraisa. There is no chiv of a karban or skila. But you should never confuse muktzah with cooking on Shabbos or with lighting a fire. But that's what Chava was doing, essentially, right? She was looking at muktzah and lighting a fire as the same level of obligation, the same level of prohibition on Shabbos. So it's a lesson for us in general. You know, to know details of halacha is not necessarily what we have to do, that you can always ask Shaila is about, but to at least know what you're asking about. To know, okay, I understand that this might be a very significant issue and this is a lesser issue is important to know. To prioritize things in life is important to know. What's my priority? Let's feel as a good example. We sit down to daven, well, if I only have limited time, what are my priorities? Well, you have to know what's the obligation, what's the structure, where did it come from? And these are important things just to keep that structure. It's a very important thing. Sometimes people give the same significance to, you know, I can't look at eating a lakka on Chanukah like eating matzah on Pesach, you know? But hopefully we don't look at it that way. But you know, if we don't know the structure, we look at the same significance. What's the difference?
Kids look at it that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kids don't really understand. So, yeah, we eat lakkas on Chanukah, and we eat Hamatash and Purim, and we eat matzah on Pesach. But matzah Pesach is a din d'oraisa, and lakkas on Chanukah are a nice minug, which you don't have to eat lakkas on Chanukah. No one has to eat lakkas on Chanukah. No, don't call me an apikoros, but you don't have to eat lakkas on Chanukah. No.
So, just
donuts. Donuts, maybe. Right. So but we see that was, so according to Chuyakar, that was Chava's big problem. Again, it may not have been, it's not totally her fault. Adam did not communicate the Isser to her properly. Adam should have said, Chava, this tree is extremely dangerous. Eating from it will kill you. Therefore, we're going to make a deal not to touch it. Right? That'd be the way to do it. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you have a cabinet and there's something dangerous, and a poison in the cabinet. So you put a little lock on the outside. So you know the lock is not poisonous, but the lock is protecting the poison. So we're not going to touch the tree as the lock around the poison. That's what he should have said to her.
Not touching matches because...
Yeah, don't touch them because you know what's going to happen with it, right? You know, with kids you might make rules like that. Don't even go in that room. Don't even go in that cabinet because there's things in there which might be dangerous for you. Mm-hmm. But if you're told that opening that lock will kill you, and they open the lock and nothing happens, like, oh, what's the big deal over here? And then they do the rest next to it, the rest
that's,
of it.
That's the Yetzer Hara coming in.
Yeah. Right, and that's the Nachash they will tell you. Okay, so it's all, nothing here is a problem. So that's one very important point of the Kliyakar. And then he has another point. Near the Farash Ode, Shechava is a mesupekes. You could explain the following way. A different explanation here. The Chava was uncertain in kavanas hanachas shetovasam kreshiu akelo kim neri tovara oshema kavanas kreshiyamus adam visahu as Chava. So now he's giving a totally different pshat. He's saying that Chava was unsure of the intent of the nachash. Maybe the Nachash had positive intentions, or maybe it was malicious intent. What would be his positive intentions? Maybe he really cared about Chava and Adam, and he wanted them to achieve the level of Hashem, like he said to them. And maybe he was being genuine and sincere that Hashem was, you know, Chas v'Shalom a liar, and Hashem was trying to trick them, and really they could achieve the level of God if they ate from the tree. So she was saying, maybe he's right. Maybe the Nachash is looking out for my own good. Or maybe the Nachash just wanted to kill off Adam to marry Chava. That's the other option. which Rashi actually says Nachash went to marry Chava. Again, we can't picture, but if we're talking about a snake walking on high legs who spoke, he's more, I guess, more human being like. Maybe it was something that was possible. But Chava was unsure, is he coming here just to trick me, or is he really looking out for my benefit? Which one is it? So she wanted to somehow test Nachash to figure this out. Vamar l'chava, v'shenashin v'aitan kalus is patos, v'yara shivarai titen l'bay l'tchila. So what would be the trick to kill Adam and marry Chava? Well, if you want to kill Chava, why are you telling her to eat from the tree? The answer is the Nachash knew that if Chava were to be fooled to eat from the tree, she would give to her husband first. You know, she'd want to honor her husband and bring him the fruit first. It looks so delicious. Let me sit down and give my husband first. We'll sit together and have a nice suda over the tree of the fruits of the Eitz Hadas. So Chava was unsure what he wanted to do. Either he was trying to kill off Adam by having her bring Adam the fruits, or he was really trying to look out for Chava's good and help her become on a higher level. So how did she test the Nachash? And it's a very clever trick. Akin Amra Chava Bezos Yibachin Das HaNachash. Through this, I will test the Nachash. So now we're going to say a very different approach. Vosifat Sivui, Chava made it up on the spot, this command not to touch the tree. Lotigu, Kadeshiya Kol HaMasa Matameyam Benegiya. She wanted a discussion between the Nachash and herself to focus on touching. So she made up the prohibition of touching, and right on the spot, and she wanted that to be the conversation. Because when it comes to touching the tree, there's no reason she would have her husband touch it first. Meaning, if she was serving food, she might serve her husband first. If it's a matter of touching a piece of wood, she's not going to come, hey, come touch it, I'll honor you by touching the wood first. That doesn't make any sense. So Chava said, okay, we're not going to talk about eating. I'm not going to tell Nachash about eating anything. I'm going to talk to Nachash about touching the tree. So if he really wants to kill Adam, then he's not going to kiss me to touch the tree because he wants me to stay alive, wants to marry me. If he's looking out for my own good, then he'll have me touch the tree because he's really being genuine. She didn't think the Nachash was out to kill her. She never considered that option. It was either she wants to kill Adam or she wants me to become great. He wants me to become great. Kasher dachav ha-Nachash is Chava. So now as they spoke and Nachash pushed Chava into the tree, she said, oh, well, now I know that the Nachash is being sincere. Because if he wanted to kill Adam and marry me, why would he push me into the tree? Because in the Nachash's mind, touching the tree was actually prohibited, at least from Chava's perspective. What would he gain from killing me? Like, why in the world would the Nachash want to kill me? What does he have to gain from killing me? He's not going to marry Adam, so why would he do this to me? So must be that the Nachash is being sincere and he's proving Hashem wrong and showing me that Hashem was just tricking you. And really, if you eat from the tree, Hashem knows you'll be as great as him, so he told you not to eat from the tree. That's why she now let him speak even more and was fooled by him. So we have two different, very different approaches by Puyaka. The first approach is this approach that Adam gave her the command and didn't tell her it was merely his own personal fence and made her think it was from Hashem. The second approach is that Chava made it up herself to figure out the Nachash's intent. If he wanted to marry her, he would never kill her off. So the fact he pushed her into the tree shows that he was being sincere. And that was how she, in her own mind, she thought the Nachash was actually being an honest, good, looking out for the best of society type of person. So those are two different, very different approaches in the Puyakar. But either way, we see this touching thing really was her downfall. Because as soon as you add, like Rashi says, as soon as you add to Hashem's commands, you're in for trouble. Because it's no longer Hashem's perfect wisdom. Now you're leading yourself into issues. So that's the Puyakar. So let's look at number 19 now. And the next pasuk is pasuk Dawud. Vayomer Nachash el Isha lomos temusim. So what happened? We see that the Chazal tell us Nachash pushed Chava into the tree, and she didn't die. So now she's ready to be convinced even further. So we have here 19 the Sifrei Chachamim, and he discusses a little more about this trick. So it's a big piece. I'm going to skip around a little bit. We'll start from the beginning here. The beginning is the question that the Chizkuni asked, which is, well, if she didn't die, on the spot, that's not a proof, because she still has the rest of the day to live out. Meaning, again, the punishment was you're going to die in the day that you eat from the tree. So why was she fooled by not dying on the spot? So look at the third line. He says, Venira. Venira haki perusho. al achilo yamusu, val negia yiplu becholi miyad. So now we have a different approach. He says that in Chava's mind, she thought that if she eats her mit, she'll die, but touching it would merely make her sick. If you touch it, then she might die the same day, but not immediately. So, because as the Sifzei Chachamim said, well, if she didn't die by touching it, let me see, I've skipped one thing here. Right. So if she didn't die by touching it, then why was skin? She should have said, okay, we see that this is not true. The answer is, she should have said, well, I'm going to die later. But why immediately did she feel comfortable that she didn't die? The answer is because she felt that, okay, maybe I'll get sick and die later based on touching it, because really eating is a more severe violation. She saw she didn't get sick. She said, I'm not going to die at all. So again, just another approach to her confusion as to why she was fooled. I want to skip down to the bottom of this piece, the very last line on the page. V'yesh makshim, another question. Some ask the kasha, why anyways would touching be a proof to eating? I mean, let's assume it was true that touching was a prohibition from Hashem, just like eating. But what happened here? She didn't touch it on purpose. Lachash pushed her into it. Bishlama hanagiyah haya ba'onis. Shu dachva shenaga. I mean, why would she be so silly to think that Hashem will kill her for being forced into it? We have a rule, Unus Rechmana Patre. If somebody is forced into an Avera, they're not held liable, not accountable for that. She's pushed by the Nachash. So the whole trick doesn't make any sense. Nachash says, look, you didn't die. Well, she says, yeah, because I didn't do an Avera. You pushed me into it. If she had gone herself and touched the tree, then it would have been much more of a deception. But why did that fool her? And then Avalchila Yibratzon, if she eats from it now, it'll be based on her own free will. So the Nachash says, well, touching it didn't kill you, maybe you should eat from it. Well, she should say, wait a minute, Nachash, touching it was done, I was coerced into touching it, you pushed me into the tree. If I eat it, I'm doing it with my own Ratzon, my own free will, and that's for sure going to kill me. So once again, why does she get deceived? So now he says another interesting thing. Yesh Lomar, the Isha Savar She'etzu Kemo Sam HaMavis. So again, another misunderstanding. She thought that the tree, it wasn't that it was a spiritual harm. She thought that it was poisonous. Like physically poisonous. Shekol mi sheyochal menu yamus. If anybody eats from it, will die. Kemo sheyochal meitzachayim shepri atzmehu anosim bochayim. She thought that, like, meitzachayim, if you ate from meitzachayim, the fruit would give you life. Kacha priya zeu sama. So this fruit is a poisonous fruit. So that's why she thought you can't touch it, because she thought that it was such a powerful poison, it would even affect her by touching it. That even if you touch it, could kill. If you ever touch like a very spicy pepper, so those oils will get on your fingers and they can irritate. And then if you touch your eye or something or a wound, it burns. If you eat it, it burns even more. But touching it burns you. So she thought, touching the Eitz Hadas will hurt me. It's poisonous. V'savra isha, zeh pri kenhu, v'shmachi dacha v'sa nachash, v'mar kashem she'emisa v'chuvay. So again, this was another way the nachash should get in. So another misunderstanding. If you think that it's a spiritual danger, then you know that it's not going to necessarily impact you immediately. You know that if it's a mistake, Hashem's not going to punish you. But if it's physical, whether you drink poison, chas v'shalom, on purpose by accident, it's going to impact who you are. It's going to impact your body because it's poisonous. So when she thought the tree was poisonous, that also led her to be fooled. So we have a lot of different reasons why she may have been fooled. Yeah.
So, I'm confused. If they all lived in Gan Eden, and they were only just created, had anything died yet? So she would even have a reference point for what it means to die. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you saying. I mean, I don't think anything ever died, but Hashem did tell them, they must have known what it meant, because Hashem told them most to Musun.
They would die.
Yeah, so they must have understood what the term meant. I don't know if they had any live examples of what death was, but live examples of death, but any real life examples of death. But they must have understood it, because Hashem commanded them with the word Tammuz. Hashem told them that. I think she got it. Yeah, the idea of being sick and having physical pain, like that, also they never experienced before.
Right, so it's like the reference point for her having all these thoughts you almost want to say, well, she didn't really know what it meant to die because there was no reference in her life.
Right. But the question is very hard to address because, I mean, she was created as an adult. And she was created with knowledge of an adult. She didn't have to learn how to speak. She didn't have to go to school. So we don't know how she was created, what she knew in her mind when she was created. I don't know if we have any idea what that was, but it's beyond us. But if you're created as an adult with full awareness of the world around you, with speech and everything else, so then it could be she knew a lot about the world as well, even though she never experienced it. You know? I don't know. It's something I've never seen anything. I don't know. We have no sources as to how she was created exactly. It's a funny thing.
Tend to think of Adam and Chava as men and women like we are men and women.
Yeah.
They really were totally different entities.
Right, yeah, it was a different world, you know.
And she knew to be wary of the snake.
Right, that's true. Right. According to the Kuyakar,
right.
she had some sort of sense that maybe he's up to no good. Right, that's true.
What was the motive that Hashem had to create the Nachash? Was it just to be like the Yetzer Hara to test them and do all this?
I think so, yeah. They needed a challenge. Like, everyone needs a challenge. If without a challenge, you can't accomplish anything. Hashem didn't create Adam to be a robot. Hashem created Adam to make a choice. So Adam and Chava had this was their one big challenge, their one choice to make. That's what it was. But without a choice, then you're merely a machine. You're not a human being. So
I'd ask, why did Hashem create the Yetzer Das?
Right.
Right. Leave that out of the plan.
Right. I mean, the Arizal says that had they waited till Shabbos, they could have eaten the Yetzer Das. And then it would have been in the right context and the right structure, and that would have been like their eternal bliss to have that wisdom, to have that understanding. It was premature, and that was the problem. So Yetzer Das had its role, beyond just being a challenge. It had its role to be, this is the way you're going to achieve your eternal reward, just you got to wait till the right time and place. And because they ate it prematurely, that was the problem. They didn't earn it yet. They weren't ready for that yet. They weren't on that level yet. But we see here again that a misunderstanding of what something is. Also, if you think that, let's take the examples we were saying before. If you think kosher food is all about your health, so one time you make a mistake, and instead of you buy a piece of chicken, and it turns out it was treif, and eat it chas v'shalom. You say, look, I didn't get sick, I feel fine. You know, it's even less salty than the kosher chicken was. You know, my sodium level is better. So you've missed the boat because we're talking about spiritual danger, not physical danger. If somebody feels terrible, I said Lashon Hara, so Hashem's going to zap me on the spot, and you can get zapped on the spot. You say, well, okay, must not be so bad. The answer is, that's not how Hashem's punishment works. If you're not aware of how Hashem runs the world, you're not aware of the danger of Averos, and you see them more as physical things or as something which is just going to improve your life and make relationships better. So that may be part of it, may not be part of it, depending on the mitzvah. We have to realize we're dealing with spiritual pain, spiritual reward, spiritual punishment. It's not going to be as we see it. Chava, when she thought it was a physical poison, according to the Sifsei Chacham over here, that was her downfall because she touched it. He said, physically, I'm totally fine. It didn't burn. It didn't make me break out into any hive. So I didn't get itchy, So it must not be so poisonous. So that fooled her. So it's back to understanding. When you understand how things work, the halachas, the structure, what is the purpose behind mitzvot, so then you can approach them in a much more logical and rational, mature way. But if we understand them on a childish level, it will mislead us. It will lead us to think that these things, aren't what they are, and then it leads to problems. So let's look at the next thing is number 20. So the Nachash, Pasuk Hey first. So Nachash continues and tells Chava, Hashem knows that on the day that you eat from the tree, your eyes will open up, and you'll become Kelokim, literally like God, who knows good and evil. So the Nachash's whole pitch to Chava was that Hashem is just depriving you of this tree because he doesn't want you to become like him. Now the Nachash told Chava, Hashem became so powerful? He ate from that tree over there. And you could do the same. You could be as powerful as Hashem. So what does it mean, Kelokim? What does that mean exactly? So we have two different understandings of what it means you can be Kelokim. So the Chizkuni, it's number 20, he says, Kamalachim. The Kelokim here doesn't mean you'll be like God. It means you'll be like an angel. That's how he understands it. If you look at 21, this is the Svarno, he says, ki yodeh elokim ki b'yamachalchem menu nifkhu ineichem, l'asar so apri mibnei chshash misa klal, Nachash tells Chava, Hashem did not prohibit that fruit because of death. That was just Hashem's lie to you. Amnesha yodeh shetasigu b'achiloso tosefes yodiyah. It's because Hashem knows when you eat from this, you will become more knowledgeable. And the kotiyu kelokim, you'll be like God, shleim mada, with complete wisdom. So the Sforn is looking at it that you're going to become like God, and that you'll be as knowledgeable as God. So the Chizkun is saying you're going to be like an angel, and the Sforn is saying you'll be complete in your wisdom. So even this, again, we're always trying to look at this and seeing Yitzhahara's plots. There's times where what Nachash is essentially telling Chava is that, you know, Hashem doesn't want you to do that because then you'll know as well as him. And I don't think that, hopefully we don't get that feeling too often, but sometimes we do get the feeling, you know, I couldn't know better than Hashem. You know, like, why did Hashem have to do that? I think that's the right thing to do. I want to do that. You know, and we kind of pose, we kind of somehow present ourselves as being more knowledgeable than Hashem. So hopefully we stop ourselves and say, no, Hashem says not to. But deep down we say, well, that's silly. I should do that. So we're trying to say that we're Kelukim. We're just as smart as Hashem. And we could have said what to do. And I think Hashem said the wrong thing. Chas v'shalom. And obviously that's not the right approach. The right approach is that Hashem is infinitely smarter than us. He has infinite wisdom. And he knows what's best. Even those things that we question sometimes, we have to know deep down that Hashem knows much better than we do. The problem is, and what the Nachash is trying to convince Chava, is that it is possible to be on Hashem's level of wisdom. Now, there are people out there that do this sometimes. You know, the people who go out there and say, you know, God, why'd you do that? And if this is what you do, then I don't want to listen to you. You know, so like, who do you think you are? You think you know better? We can't understand everything Hashem does. Now, Hashem is far beyond our understanding, but we have to know Hashem knows better. And that's obvious. If we do not approach Hashem as if he knows better, then we're totally missing the boat. But Nachash says, no, you can be like Hashem. You can be as smart as Hashem. Just you know, if you just maybe, you can read a little more, you can think a little more, and you'll be smarter than Hashem if you do that. You know, that's eat from the tree, and you'll be as smart as Hashem. So again, this is all Yitzhahara's plots to bring us into the wrong activities, the wrong things. Let's look at the next pasuk, Vav. Hatera isha ki tova eitz l'ma'achol. So now she finally has listened to the snake, and she's about to give in to his deception. She sees Kitova eats the ma'achal. She sees that the tree is good to eat. The kisavahi le'inayim, and it's a desire for the eyes. The nechmana eats lahaskil, and it's pleasant to the mind. I guess would be the literal translation. Vatikach mipurio, and she took from its fruit. Vatochal, and she ate. Vatitan gamla ishan, and then she gave to her husband. Ima with her, v'yochal, and he ate as well. So at the end, she became enticed. Now it's very important to note, and we'll talk about it further, it wasn't just the Nachash's wonderful sales pitch that got her, because look, she looked at the tree and now she became enchanted by this tree. It enticed her. You know, her eyes lit up. It was a good tree to eat, and it was a desire to the eyes, and it was pleasant to the mind. So because in the world of Averos, we always start sometimes with a little bit of maybe some sort of internal conversation or struggle, or somebody on the outside convincing us. But at some point, we have to become on board with it as well. If it was just the Nachash convincing her, but she herself saw no gain in it, she wouldn't have done it, because she was, okay, you know, maybe it makes sense, but I have no desire to eat from that tree. But the problem is, once your mind gets somehow convinced this is the right thing to do, and then you see a personal benefit in it, then that's when you do it. So once the Nachash made her take a look at this tree and think about it more, she said, hey, it looks pretty good, and you know, it's pretty beautiful fruits, and it's a very pleasant tree. I do want to take a bite of that tree. Because now her whole body became on board with the chait. When we're chote, we'll talk about this more, we'll see in Ma'aral Mirza Hashem next week. When a person does a sin, your body does have to be on board with it in some way. Whether it be your mind, or your emotions, or your physical body, but you have to want it in some way. You yourself need to want it. No, if someone tells you to do something and no party wants to do it, then you're not going to do it. It's just not going to happen. So you have to convince me in some way that I want it. So it might be my physical body wants it, might be that my mind wants it, might be that my emotions want it. But I got to want it, because if I don't want it, I'm not going to do it. So the Nachash is able to convince her to at least take a second look at this tree, And suddenly her whole being became enticed or enchanted or charmed by these fruits and decided to eat from this tree. The question is, well, why did she give it to her husband, though? I mean, she ate from it. And then, and she gave it to her husband as well. So I guess the easy understanding would be, well, why not share with her husband, right? If I take it on a very simple level, like we said before, like if she's having a meal, she'll share with him too. But I don't have it on the sheets. But the Netziv in Harchev Dover, he gives a little bit of a different pshat on this. Very, very interesting pshat. Because seemingly, as soon as she ate from the fruit, she changed. I mean, you think Chava changed first. Because we know when they ate from the fruit, they recognized they were naked, and they had this new wisdom of good and evil that entered into their body. So something happened when she ate from it. So then, once that happened to her, and she realized she made a mistake, I would assume, why should they have to give it to her husband? Why did she trick him? So the Harchev Dover, the Tziv, says the following point. He says that once she ate from the tree, now her wisdom, as we discussed a couple weeks back, no longer was based on the divine. It's based on her own personal gains and wants and needs. So it used to be everything was based from a more objective, heavenly perspective. And now she ate from the tree, now she's looking at things from a selfish perspective. What do I think is good? What do I want? What's good for me? Then tov la. So now her relationship with Adam changed, because no longer was their relationship just, you know, to create a world, l'shem shemayim, do Hashem's bidding, but now she was looking at it, what's good for me, from a selfish perspective. And she said, well, it's going to be good for me if my husband and I are on the same level. I don't want him to remain this like lofty creation of Hashem who's living beyond the world, you know, from this special seichel, this special mind which is divine, and then I'm a sinner and I have to live with my own human challenges. He should come into my world too. She doesn't want him to be so clinging to his God. So therefore, she convinced him to eat as well. So the Netziv says that now that she ate, she became very self-focused. I'm very focused on her own needs. And she said, my needs are to have a husband who's like me. Even though it's going to be bad for him to eat from me, I know I sinned. But how could I live out my life knowing that I'm a sinner and he's going to be this godly, divine person who's like far beyond me? So now, because she was so self-focused, she took the fruit to him and had him eat as well. The Chazal talked about how it could be that, we spoke about there a few different opinions as to what the fruit was. So Chazal say if it was grapes, she squeezed him some wine and she gave him a cup of wine. However, she fed it to him. But she convinced him to eat as well. But the Sim's point is that when she ate, she changed. And when she changed, she was so focused on herself, she no longer wanted Adam to remain on a higher level. And at times also, we do that sometimes. You know, often we know that what we're about to do is not good for the other person, but we want to do it. So we have to stop ourselves and say, well, even though I want this, if it's not good for this other person, whether it be a friend, a spouse, a family member, we shouldn't do it because it's not good for them. And when we're so self-focused and we become so selfish, sometimes we don't look at the other person's needs and focus on our own needs, and what we do is not good for the other person. So Chava was focused so much now on her own needs, she ignored Adam's needs, and she slept him into the chait, you know, with her. Fine, so I think we'll stop there for the week. And a little more to go. Next week we'll finish up this packet.